In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the time that Jesus walked the earth, most people knew the Spirit as either the prophetic Spirit that came from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so on and so forth. And they knew the Spirit also, generally, the way that we understand Spirit. The way that Americans understand Spirit is personality. It's completely wrong, but that's how we describe it. That guy has a good spirit. What do you mean he has a good spirit? Or that guy has got a bad spirit. What's a bad spirit? There's just spirit. What you do does alter the perception of individuals around you. But if you're a baptized Christian, the Holy Spirit that is inside you, you may disobey him, but he's good, and he's counseling, and he is giving the benefit of not just what has been told you from the Bible or from the pulpit or from any holy book that you've ever read, but the Holy Spirit will give you from God himself, directly from God himself. He himself is God. He is different than God the Father, who is unoriginate. He's different from Jesus Christ the Son, who is only begotten. He is Holy Spirit, who is processional. Now, one of the fathers said, we can busy ourselves by trying to delve into these mysteries, but at the end, we will make ourselves frenzied. That's exactly the word that was used. There is no way to understand this. It will have to be experienced, and that will be on the other side of our flesh. All of these things will no longer be a mystery to us when we pass on. But here they are mysteries. There is nothing that is analogous. There's nothing that we can point to and say to a child or somebody else, this is the Spirit. Sometimes people will think that the one who is the Spirit should be obedient to our needs. And it's not the case. You know, Jesus Christ came and he did so many things that were solicitous, so many kind things to each one of us. And you think about the poor widow who lost her son, and he restores this woman, her son. What does this have to do with salvation? Not a thing. Not a thing. It just shows his kindness and his love so that people could believe in the other things that he was saying. Why did he make wine at the wedding of Cana in Galilee? Did they need that? Did they really need that? Was that something that's important to salvation? The answer again is no. But he did so many things that are solicitous, so many things that are generous, respecting our humanity. And he being there with the disciples, he kept all evil away from them. You know, it's like a little boy who's confronted by some bullies, but he's walking in the park and his big brother who's in college is holding his hand. And all of a sudden, the bullies, they don't look so fearsome. There have been movies about this, by the way. My Bodyguard is the name of one of them, comes to mind. But Jesus did all of these things. The Comforter's not going to come this way. How does the Comforter come? Have you ever seen a picture of the Pentecost, the icon of the Pentecost? Have you seen that? There were cloven tongues of fire on the heads. Fire. The reason that it's portrayed this way is because it's the way in which it was shown spiritually to be the zealous part, the very zealous part of us, the part that, look, you know, if I told you to laugh, if I said, okay, we're going to watch some really funny movies and we're going to laugh, and we're going to see who can laugh the longest. And whatever movie you like, the one that you think is the most humorous, that's the movie you're gonna get to watch. How long do you think you could laugh without stopping? We're gonna give you now another room. You're gonna move into this room and it's gonna be the saddest thing that you've ever seen because you would have chosen it yourself. How long can you cry? We're going to put you in another room where you are going to be outraged by what occurs. How long are you going to be outraged? You can't cry very long. You can't scream very long. You can't do anything very long. I mean, it seems interminable if you're in the room with the person who's doing it. You know, 2 minutes is enough. I'm done. But for that person, they can't do it very long. So the difference between a state of emotion and a state of zeal is that zeal is not conquered by fatigue. There's a paradise, there's a story from the Paradise of the Fathers about, well, this guy over here, standing next to Father Beeman is Saint Yishui. And in there, when he was dying, as it was the tradition of the monastery, all of the brothers came. And you know what you do when you see somebody dying, and a priest. If you ever go to the bedside of a priest who's dying, you say, "Father, forgive me of everything I've ever done that has wronged you." And then you say to him, you say, "And Father, I likewise, everything that you have ever done that I didn't like, I absolve you of that." Now it seems arrogant, but what it does is it puts him in a neutral position when he goes to God. This person doesn't have anything against him. Now you can praise him if you wish, but the main thing is you want to have balance. You want to have balance. So the brothers were around Saint Yishui at his death, and his face, he's one of two people in the Paradise of the Fathers, his face shone like the sun. Brilliant, a brilliant manifestation of transfiguration, right? And then he said to one of the brothers, "Bring me my stick." You know, in the monastery, they would walk with a stick, like a staff, like a shepherd's staff. Not like the pastoral staff of the bishop or the head of the monastery, but something more humble, more of a diminished size. And he looked out. The assembly was on their knees and they were sitting, you know, in a lower position so that they wouldn't be standing above him just looking down at his bed. And he was looking up above their heads and he said, "Oh, you think that I'm too old to fight? I'm ready to fight you right now." And he's speaking to the devil. His zeal doesn't fatigue. Zeal doesn't fatigue. Your emotions fatigue, just poof. I mean, I used to have a thing, there was this family that used to fight all the time there from St. George Church. It wasn't because they're from St. George Church, they were always fighting, but it just happened to be when I was there. And it was a son and his father, and they were always fighting. And so I got this frantic phone call from the father. "Abuna, you gotta come. I said, "Okay, I'm coming." I didn't go. I waited until the next day and I went. And guess what? Problem was over with. Because you see, you cannot be angry that long. You can get angry and then you have to like cool down, like a runner who runs a race, right? Okay, he can only run so far and then he dies. But if he stops and uses the interval to recuperate, then he can get angry. But in this case, I knew this family very, very well, and this was an ongoing problem, and this problem was not going to be solved any sooner by my appearance. All right. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's not coming humbly. He's not going to come as Jesus did. Jesus came in the lowest form that he could have taken. in our flesh. And remember, one of the fathers said when we were asked to obey something that was very difficult, he said, God, please don't forget that we are dirt. Don't forget that we are dirt. He took up dirt and he breathed into it and he made us. So don't forget, we're dirt. Jesus couldn't have come in a lower situation, a more humble situation, born in a manger, no place for his head to rest except in the feeding trough of an animal. And he did all of these things. Holy Spirit, no. Tongues of fire. The zeal that I'm talking about. Tongues of fire. People who are being tortured. There was a story again in the Synaxar about a man who had his arms and legs cut off. And he's laying on the ground dying. And he looks up to heaven and he says, Lord, I'm sorry, I cannot stand and pray before you. Zeal. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of truth. We talk about the Spirit of comfort. Why is it comforting? Because if I'm being judged by somebody, I have standing next to me a spirit that if I will listen, he will tell me everything to say. Everything. Now, if I'm guilty, it's not going to help. Because if I'm guilty, then I deserve coming to me. But if I'm innocent, remember, blessed are you when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Remember that. You're blessed when that happens. But you're further blessed because you have an answer. And you have someone to whom you can go for the answer. It does not have to come from the imagination or from your experience or your education. It comes from God himself. What you should say in that hour. So the Spirit is coming. And they don't understand the Spirit because, as I said, the Jews knew the Spirit roughly the way that we understand Spirit. But he's got a good Spirit. He's got a nice Spirit. He's got a kind Spirit. He's got a gentle Spirit. No. So he's going away. And when we read in the text, Jesus says to him, nobody's asking me where I'm going. Why? Because they were paralyzed with fright. He's leaving us. And who's this Spirit? Who is this? We don't know this Spirit. Of course they didn't know that Spirit. They knew of the Spirit, as you know, the history of Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington, and James Madison, and Thomas Jefferson in the creation of the United States of America. You know them in the way in which it has been brought to you by those who taught. And in the same way they were taught, but they didn't have a definite, personal, ongoing, immediate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So they were greatly disturbed. Greatly disturbed. But he tells them, greatly disturbed people, guess what? People are going to think it's really good when they kill you because they're going to think that they're doing God a favor. Now, these people that would be killing them, they really would think that. And why? Because they were righteous Jews. And they're protecting the Jewish state. They're protecting the Jewish scripture, the Jewish way of life. They're protecting all of the things that they know. They're just wrong. But for you, you have to know this, that was their motive. It wasn't because your nose was too long or you were too fat or too skinny or too short or too tall. It was because you are not preaching what they preach any longer. You were, but you've left. And now you're telling this to a frightened person. They're going to chase after you. They're going to kick you out of the synagogues. They're going to beat you. I don't want to be beaten. I'm a priest, right? So I go someplace in the Middle East, and somebody says to me, deny Jesus Christ or I'm going to do so and so and so. Well, I'm not going to be self-serving, but I'm going to tell you this. I think that I would not deny Jesus Christ. I believe that I would not deny Jesus Christ, but I wouldn't be happy about the so and so. Like, we're going to put you in prison. We're going to beat you. We're going to starve you. We're going to, you know, whatever it is we're going to do to you. We're going to, no, I don't want any of that. How about a picnic? How about I tell you about the one that I love? How about let's be friends? Did you never hear God is love? I'm being facetious because I want you to understand where this fear emanated from. They didn't know what they were going to get. And the Lord said, I want you to stay alone. I want you to huddle together for 10 days. Because after my ascension in 10 days, the Spirit is coming. And he did. And the Lord, many times, you've heard it in the Bible, said, I tell you now before it comes to pass that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. Right? But remember that these words, they're penetrating to the heart of a believer. If somebody who loves you, if somebody who really loves you tells you, I will love you to the end of my life, I will never stop loving you, you cannot do anything that is going to separate my love from you. And you believe that, it gives you an incredible power. It's just words. No action has yet taken place. You are just here right now, just listening to that. But again, when the Holy Spirit came, it gave this zealous nature to all of the people who are now going to, in the place of Jesus Christ, preach the gospel. And they're going to do miracles. Remember Peter? He's walking by the temple, and there's beggars. What did he say? Gold and silver have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Could you imagine that? Well, you know, today, with all of the cynicism in our world, if you told a cripple, stand up and walk, he'd say, are you mocking me? You're the most cruel person I've ever encountered. But you see, the difference was that this was done through the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, there carries along with it like a beautiful odor. You know, sometimes when I smell certain things in my house, I go outside and see what the local restaurants have on order. But other times in my house, things smell, ooh, that really smells good. It's always imparted to the one who receives this blessing, this absolute certainty and security that what has been said or been told them is true. And sometimes we speak about these things as a savor, something that we can only use our physical limited sensory apparatus to provide us with an analogy. So it has this wonderful taste. It has this wonderful smell. And when you gather that in, you feel differently yourself. The Holy Spirit, we will be speaking about, obviously, for the next 42 days. The next fast is 42 days in length. The fathers of the church go into a great deal of discussion because the Lord has said that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak that which he has heard. And let me just say this one brief thing. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all speak the same word. They all think the same word. They do not have one single will, but their individual wills are completely unified. It's a terrible word to use, but the closest word I can use is simpatico. They have this closeness, this filiation. They have this sense of just absolute perfection and symmetry and balance in everything. So the Holy Spirit speaks, and he will speak things that the Lord has said. I do not have things to tell you now because you can't bear them. The Holy Spirit will be the advocate in that situation and tell us everything. There are some things also that we are only going to understand once we have transitioned from this life to the next life. But the Lord speaks of those in earnest, and he speaks about them to us in all the beauty and the glory of the Godhead. Glory be to our Father, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.